A series of intense storms has been pounding the Southern California area recently, and as we know, that leads to an inevitable consequence in our hillside areas. Water, mud, and debris flows. We talked to an expert about what makes it so bad out here, and how an increase in wildfires could make things worse. And the word mentor is defined as an experienced and trusted advisor. The group Mentors, Inc. fulfills that goal every day for local populations who are struggling. The group now serves to aid the disadvantaged through two community centers and three reentry housing facilities, and it's poised to expand again. And Freedom and Fashion is more than just a catchy slogan. It's a group that serves to educate, uplift, and advocate for victims of domestic violence and human trafficking. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner, and this is Fox 11 News In Depth. After just emerging from a major storm that brought more than 10 inches of rain to many areas, we're faced with more of the same. As you're watching us, it's Sunday, right? But we actually taped this a few days earlier, so the impact of the latest storm is a little bit unknown to us. But what is known is that living in Southern California, our legacy is mudslides followed by brush fires, followed by mudslides, followed by brush fires. Well, that presents a lot of challenges, doesn't it? So every year we deal with these things, and here to talk about this with some expertise who can talk about also climate change and the potential that might have on our weather around here is Dr. Joshua West. He's a professor of earth sciences and environmental studies at USC. Josh, good to see you. Thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hi, nice to see you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you know, we've seen the unusual, or rather the usual result from our recent storms. Washed out roads, sliding hillsides, and undermined homes. What is it that makes our area so vulnerable?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of a number of factors. Partly it has to do with the fact that we live in a beautiful landscape in Southern California, and that means a lot of steep slopes. It means the bluffs over the ocean that we love, and the beautiful hillsides that we often build our homes on to get stunning views. But those steep slopes, you know, gravity's working on them all the time, and they over time they want to come down, and that's compounded by the fact that we also live in a region that gets really intense storms during the winter, and those intense storms are the most immediate cause of most of these landslides and mudslides and debris flows that we see.
And we can see that in the video we've been looking at there, how these beautiful homes were on top of these hills, and you can see where the dirt, the mud, and all that came down. How is it that, I think I know the answer to this, having been out there in the mud, the muck, the wildfires, and everything else, but can you explain how it is that wildfires contribute to our problems?
Right, so that's a really good question. So wildfires play a couple of different roles. One is that, of course, before the wildfire, there's vegetation sitting on our landscape, and that vegetation's holding the soil in place. And the fires burn away that vegetation, and you can imagine if you have something that's holding a bunch of dirt in place and that vegetation disappears, it easily slides off downhill. And then you add water to the mix, and anybody who's sort of played with water in a playground would know it creates a kind of muddy mess. And when you've got that on steep slopes, it easily sort of all slides downhill. It's compounded by the fact that the fires change some of the soil properties and the way that water runs off the surface of soils, and you've got this kind of perfect storm to create these disasters that we see.
I've been seeing this actually for decades. I mean, this has been going on for as long as I've been in Los Angeles, which is 42 years. So this is, and that's small in the scale of how long our community has been having these sort of issues, right? So with the increase in heavy storms, we can look for things to get worse, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, what we saw just a week or so ago was a storm that brought historically heavy rainfall to the Southern California region. And that, you know, caused, as we know, widespread damage, hundreds of mudslides around Los Angeles. But you're absolutely right that we can expect that could only be worse in the future. And in some sense, you know, not to downplay the damage and the heartbreak that were felt, especially by homeowners affected by the storm that we've already seen. In some sense, it could have been a lot worse because had more of the rainfall come in, you know, very intense period of time, like a half an hour or an hour, that's one of the worst contributors to landslide and mudslide risk. And we expect that those really intense atmospheric river type storms that could deliver even more rain in a shorter period of time are only going to get worse in the years ahead.
And it's not just water and mud. In recent storms, we've seen massive boulders and trees and all sorts of things coming down those hills.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, especially in areas around wildfire, you know, wildfire burn scars, the risk is that you get really large debris. This was one of the things that those who remember back to the Montecito disaster that followed the Thomas Fire 2017 and then into 2018, one of the things that was so devastating there were the really large boulders that came down in those debris flows. And you do see that here, you know, in the LA region as well. And so absolutely, I mean, these things can really pack a punch. It's frightening to consider what the future may look like as we see more and more of these.
You know, it's challenging, too, when you're dealing with Mother Nature, because Mother Nature has a way of trumping everybody. And so I guess the question really here is, what can people do? Should we just not build on hillsides anymore? I mean, obviously, we're going to do that, but what should people do?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a combination, right? And it depends over what time frame you're talking about, right? There are questions one could ask about zoning and development in the future, and should we be building on hillsides? Should we be rebuilding homes that are in areas that have been damaged? And of course, there's trade-offs, right? We love these areas that back up against wildlands and that have beautiful views and so on. And we need space for homes, so. But it does come with the cost of these the risk from these natural disasters. I think more immediately, homeowners in these areas can be prepared, and I encourage folks who live in areas around steep slopes to consult some of the great resources that the U.S. Geological Survey has, that the National Weather Service has, the California Geological Survey, about preparedness and ways that people can get themselves ready. In case their particular area is affected. And people can also keep an eye out for some of the warning signs around their properties, things
right.
like new
right.
new cracks appearing in soil, changes in groundwater springs, if you see new springs emerge, things like that.
And always keep your eyes and ears on Fox 11 weather, right?
Because absolutely, right? I mean, knowing the weather and when we're going to get these big storms, and you all are great at giving people a heads up about the time to be most attuned to what's happening.
So. All right, Dr. Joshua West, thanks so much, and thanks for saying that. And we'll see you again soon. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, sometimes we all could use a helping hand. But imagine what a little help could do to bring a previously incarcerated person back into society. Find them employment and housing. We meet some people lending those helping hands right after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and in today's society, we can't pretend that we're all playing on a level playing field. And during these times, when it seems like the struggle is even getting harder, a group is making it their mission to lend a helping hand. That group is called Mentors, Inc. And with us now to talk about that are the director of Mentors, Inc., Aquila Toy, and Adrian Rose, their program manager. And good to see both of you. Thanks for being here. And, you know, how did Mentors, Inc. get started? Why don't we start with you?
Okay. Mentors, Inc. was started by our CEO, Tony Bryant, in 2009. As a response to an outcry of what was going on in African American communities, particularly in the St. Louis, Missouri area. There was black on black crime, the disparages in health care, it was just out of control, coupled by the lack of resources, the lack of advocacy in our communities. So, in response to all of that, she started Mentors Inc. as Operation Bright Lights.
That was in St. Louis.
Yes. So, this is how it all started, it all began. Then she came to California, and Mentors Inc. stands for Men Taking Over Reforming Society. Okay, so it is an acronym.
One more time, Mentors acronym is?
Men Taking Over Reforming Society. So in our communities, you know, due to the absence a lot of times, we understand as women that we need to couple with men, that we cannot do any of this without men by our side. So we need them to come back into our communities. So that was the whole premise of Mentors, Inc. So when she came to California, it began as a van pool where she would take families to visit to the prisons to visit their incarcerated family members. And so from there, it grew into Mentors, Inc. and what it is today.
And so here in Los Angeles, Aquila, so yes. How does that translate here?
So here in L.A., I like to consider us to be a community support system. At the community center, people are able to come and get clothing, baby essential items, food. They can even come and take a shower if they need to. We do everything that we can to help people with whatever they need.
Some of these programs just started this week, right?
That's right.
Well, what just started this week, and what is the significance of them?
So this week, we started our Fired Up program. In the past, we have been a resource-based organization, but now we have this programming. It is for youth and young adults between the ages of 16 to 25. Fired Up is also an acronym. It stands for Financial Independence, Resilience, Empowerment, Development for Underserved Populations.
You guys are full of acronyms, aren't you?
Yes.
Acronyms are full. By the way, I love acronyms.
So. That's kind of our CEO's thing. She really likes things to stand. Everything has meaning. And so everything that we do must have meaning as well.
So why is this needed? Who do you guys help?
Okay, so Fired Up is for, like I said, ages 16 to 25. And what we're trying to do is create a diversion. Especially here in California, we understand that there are many things that students can get themselves into, right? But we are trying to be that stopgap where we take them and turn them from where they are and hopefully do a 180 turn, but hopefully a 360-degree turnaround to help them understand that just because you come from a certain economic group or you come from a certain neighborhood, it does not mean that that's where you have to stay.
Well, let me ask you, how many people do you have in the program? What is the age span? And I suppose, where do you go from here, Aquila?
So, as of right now, in the Fired Up program, we have about 8 youth, and they are teenagers spanning from, what, about...
They're 16 to 19
right now. Yeah, 16 to 19 years old. And, I mean, this thing is going to go far. We have lots of plans to expand this program, including them learning how to budget and how to work the stock market, how to start businesses.
Could you teach me some of that?
We definitely can. You know, we got you. Don't worry.
We got your back.
Yes.
One of the things, we had our first class last night, and it was on fire.
It was
really
amazing.
And the kids, they really loved it. And I don't like to call them children. I'll call them our students, our proteges.
Their ages are?
16 to 19.
Yes.
We have not enrolled any 20 to 25-year-olds yet because I guess they just don't understand the importance and what we have to offer them right now. The brainchild of this whole Fired Up is we take students from where they are to complete financial independence. And it's a two-part program. So after they finish this first 8 weeks, they'll graduate. And then from there, they go into the part two, which is teaching them it's three-pronged. Either we're going to go into helping you facilitate you going into college, we're going to facilitate you taking up a vocation, or entrepreneurship.
Okay, we have 30 seconds. Aquila, how can the community help?
You guys can help us by volunteering. We always need volunteers Monday through Friday from 8 to 4:30. If you would like to make in-kind donations, you can drop them off at the community center located at 10200 South Main Street in South LA. If you would like to make monetary donations, we have a Cash App, Mentors LA. We have PayPal, Mentors Inc. Or you can just bring it to the community center. There's always somebody there to accept your help.
All right. Thank you very much, Aquila Toy and Adrian Rose. And
thank you for
all your acronyms.
Thank you.
Enjoyed
you.
It. Thanks so much. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth. We'll be talking about Helping Hands, and another group out there is offering a hand to victims of sex crimes and human trafficking with an unusual twist. We talked to a representative about what fashion has to do with freedom. That's coming up next. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News in Depth. We're just coming down off of our Super Bowl high, but we need to talk about one of the downsides of big events like that one. Those huge events that draw crowds from around the country and around the world also create a fertile ground for crimes. And one of the most insidious of those crimes is human trafficking, in this case, sex. But the exploitation of vulnerable men, women, and children is also a year-round occurrence. However, there are a number of organizations set up to fight that exploitation, and one of them is run by our next guest, Laverne Delgado. Laverne is the executive director of freedomandfashion.org. Thanks for being with us. And before we start, this is Laverne, and her mom is?
Shirley.
Shirley. There really is a Laverne and Shirley, everybody.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about freedom and fashion and how that got started.
Well, thanks for having me. We've been around for a while. You know, Freedom and Fashion started in 2008, and this is back before human trafficking was being spoke of like it is right now, you know, before movies like Taken, people thought it was something that just happened in third world countries. So we started raising awareness through the language of fashion. We had these really big fashion shows. Our biggest one was 1,000 people, and we utilize this art form and language to raise awareness not only for survivors of the exploited within the labor, but as you mentioned,
there are
sex.
Different kinds of trafficking.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
Exactly. But your group helps victims of trafficking and also of sexual and violence and domestic violence, right?
Yes, that's mainly where we operate, yeah.
When did you start this organization?
I've been with the organization for 10 years, So I'm coming up on my decade. But yeah, we've been around since 2008.
And how many people do you work with?
Do we serve?
Yeah.
Oh, we serve thousands. Oh. Yeah. We have three initiatives that we serve people through. That's resources, that's education, and advocacy. So we're providing essential items and luxury gifts. We have amazing partners with great brands like Ulta and Mattel, and we just did a lot of work for the holidays. But throughout the year, we're educating and helping survivors get out and stay out of really dangerous situations.
Well, when we talk about advocacy, how is it that fashion works to benefit that?
Well, fashion is the most universal language. Since the beginning of man, it's been used to communicate tribe, gender, status. It's something that communicates before your mouth even opens. And naturally, just culturally, with these young girls, which unfortunately a lot of victims are young girls, fashion is our outlet. It's our way that we get in and we start breaking down their walls so we can have some more important conversations.
So is that, you know, we often say that music cures everything. Is it kind of like music?
Music is another language. You know, fashion is something that whether you want to communicate with it or not, if you wake up in the morning, you look at yourself in the mirror, you are. And it's just easy access. We do what works, and fashion works.
And so what have you found, sort of data, what have you found from the people that have come into the program and then using fashion to get them going the right way?
Well, we serve a lot of different organizations in the city, in the country, and even other countries sometimes throughout the year. And we receive feedback all the time. And a constant thread that is communicated to us is that what was hard for their maybe social workers, therapists to communicate with them before, our programming, our fashion, and our beauty, and our creativity within our work has helped them sometimes even have the survivors find the language to describe what they went through. So we are not only servicing the survivors, we're servicing the agencies and the nonprofits that are housing and rehabilitating the survivors as well.
Oftentimes, and who started this organization?
This is an old friend of mine named Bonnie.
And then you got engaged into it.
Yeah, I started as a program director.
Well, oftentimes people get involved in programs like this from a personal perspective. Do you have a personal story?
Yes. Yeah.
Want to share?
Sure. Yeah. No worries. I went through abuse at a very young age, 4 years old, and I also overcame a domestic violent marriage, which is unfortunately, a very common statistic. If you go through, you know, sexual abuse as a minor, the chances of you ending up in a violent relationship over and over again is really, really high. So I fit into that beautifully, but I wouldn't have it any other way. That wisdom and knowledge and experience that I went through not only gave me just a lot of information and life experience, but it gave me an empathy for these survivors that I know not many have. And it is a long journey with any one person. It takes a village and oftentimes decades to truly heal a soul. And because I've walked through that, I have the time, I have the patience, and I understand in ways that maybe others wouldn't.
Did fashion somehow play into your personal experience?
Yeah, I used to be a designer once upon a time. But I always understood, I still think that fashion isn't being utilized at its maximum capacity. I think that if we could really tap into it, as I said, as a language, rather than just an art form or an expression, but something that can use to communicate and be something that can give us access to the depths of our identities, I think we can really, especially in Los Angeles, create some good change.
We have less than a minute. So how can people get help from an organization like yours?
Well, we're online, freedomandfashion.org. You can find us on social media. It's Freedom and Fashion on everything. Instagram, we're getting DMs all the time from victims and survivors and other agencies. So that's a great outlet. But the way of the world is social media. So find us on there and we'll get connected.
All right, very good. Laverne Delgado. Say hi to Shirley.
Thank you.
Fox 11 News and Death will continue right after this break. Don't go away. Thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, check out my podcast. It's called What the Hell? And it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts or just go to whatthehellpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.